Okay, we're starting at the Mishnah on Tevav Amubet at the bottom. Shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medaber, she'eni mehalech, asur. Okay, so this is what we saw before, that you could take a shvua and say, I'm not going to do something. We talked about how could you say shvua she'eni yashen, right? It needs a time frame. Interestingly enough, the Gemara doesn't mention it here, which is typical of the Gemara to, even though they mentioned it somewhere else, to mention it again, they don't mention it. But obviously that has to be the intent. But the main point that the Gemara is trying to make here, it seems, is that as opposed to Shvua, where you can't say it on, you know, that I won't do something, but here, right, if you say, Al davar she'ein bo mamash, right, and as a neder, you can't say I won't do something, but you can't say it on something she'ein bo mamash, like on she'ena. And so if you say Shvua she'eni yashen, she'eni medaber, she'eni mehalech, it's asur. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. Like I said, the Gemara
said that this is Shvua, and before it was, in the last Mishnah, it was Konam.
Right, it was Neder. Right, the truth is, I'm realizing as I say this, that while it's true that there's a difference, and the Gemara is clearly trying, the Mishnah is clearly trying to indicate there's a difference, because that's going to be the next Mishnah, right? Chomer, or not the next one, but in two Mishnayot. Zeh Chomer b'Shvua m'b'Nedarim, that we saw already, right, that it's Chala d'Varsha Embo Mamash. But really, it's actually strange because the Lashon of the Mishnah doesn't really match that. Because if you look back at the last Mishnah, it was Konam Sha'ani Yashen, Sha'ani Medaber, Sha'ani Mahalech. Now it's different actually because it's saying Sha'ani Medaber, right? It's a different Lashon that I do it. Remember, we talked about then, I'm just throwing up a lot of confusing things in the air, but I just, again, I like to, even though it confuses people, I like to raise the fact that there's confusion here, that some versions had the Mishnah on the page before as Aini instead of Ani, and that really throws you off. But if you take our nusach that we have in front of us, so it's the difference between Konam She'ani Yashen, She'ani Medaber, She'ani Mehalech, versus Shavua She'ani Yashen, She'ani Medaber, She'ani Mehalech. And then again, the Gemara takes it as, oh, Shavua She'ani Yashen really means Konam Einai B'Shena, right? And Konam Raglai Bahalicha, or however you put it, where it's really talking about your eyes, your hands, your feet. Whereas here it's talking about yourself, right? And a Shavua can be Chal saying, I won't do something, even if that thing doesn't exist. Okay, again, like I said, there's problems with the Mishnayot, with the Pshat of them, and it's not as clear cut as the Gemara makes it seem. But leave that as an open question. So, Shvua She'eni Yashen She'eni Medaber She'eni Mehalech is Asur. That's a good Shvua, and therefore it's forbidden to you. Now we're going to get into a new thing, which is Korban Lo Ochalach, Ha Korban She'ochalach, Lo Korban Lo Ochalach Mutar. Okay? Three cases, that each one for different varying reasons. Okay? Each, like, the Mishnah clumps them as if they're all the same, but the explanation for each is totally different. These are three things that don't work as a neder. Okay, first of all, again, we're having the switch between neder and shvua as if, like, you know, there's no distinction. We move from shvua to neder, although it's sort of a little bit of a combination, because I'll just start with the middle case. Ha korban she'ochalach, they assume, okay, the way they read, the mafreshim all understand this, is that the mishnah means that this is like swearing. It's like a type of shvua that you say, ha korban, this korban, like we saw the word ha avodah, or, right, so this sometimes this ha yediyah comes, and it's actually not ha yediyah, it's really like ha zeh, okay? This korban she'ochalach, meaning I swear on this korban, okay? Now, the lashon of ha korban is considered a lashon of shvua, but it's a lashon of shvua that doesn't work, okay? If you swear on a korban, there's no such thing. Like, you can swear in the name of Hashem. We saw that, right? You can swear on a Torah, and then we say, it depends. Are you holding the Torah? Are you not holding the Torah? Do you mean to be swearing on the parchment itself, which doesn't work for a shvua? Or do you mean to be swearing on God's name? So there's certain things that you can swear in God's name. Again, you have problems if you swear in God's name, and you better be careful, but that's considered a valid shvua. But swearing in the name of a korban is not considered a valid shvua. Right? Whereas neder, that's like the classic neder, is on a korban, because a korban is something you generally would be no dare. You would vow to bring a korban. So it makes sense that for a neder it would work, but nobody swears on a korban. So therefore, if you say the words, ha korban she'ochalach, that's not anything. Okay? Because there's no lashon of shvua by korban. So the middle case is really a shvua case. The first and the last is really more in the world of Nidarim. So let's go through the three cases, okay? You can also see it on the chart in the middle. These are the three cases that are all mutar. You can even jump ahead, if you look at the second part of the chart, the second part of that Mishnah, or not the second part, but the next Mishnah, I called it the second part here. The next Mishnah says the same three lishonot by Shvua, and they all work. Okay, if you say the word Shvua la'ochalach, or Hashvua she'ochalach, or Lo Shvua la'ochalach, all three work. Okay? We're going to get into the details in a minute, but I just want you to see the comparison. So we have this Mishnah lists all the nedarim, or lashon, that seems to be a lashon of a neder, but yet, you know, one maybe sounds more like a shvua, but doesn't work. None of these work. And the second three all work when you say it in the lashon of shvua. So what's korban lo ochalach? Okay? That's, it's like, this is like saying, we kept saying that you have to... There was a machloket whether you can use the word kik, whether you can say kik korban or just korban. Okay? So if you say korban lo ochalach, okay, it doesn't work if you don't use the kik. Okay? You have to say kik korban lo ochalach. Okay? But if you don't say that, it's mutar. Just 1 second. Because korban lo ochalach means what I don't eat from you. Right, that's the issue. Because it means what I don't eat from you is going to be a korban. Right? And it's you want to talk about what I am going to eat from you. In other words, what's here is also not just the korban lashon, but is it lo ochalach or she'ochalach? So if you say korban lo ochalach, then we're basically saying what I won't eat from you is going to be a korban, which means what I will eat from you is going to be fine. So therefore, it doesn't work. So ha korban she'ochalach, we already said, is a lashon of a shvua. And a shvua doesn't work. You can't make a shvua b'chaye korban. And then lo korban, lo ochalach, mutar. Okay, this is going to be a bit of a problem with the issue is here. But again, what is it? What's the basic here? Lo korban, it's not going to be a korban, what I don't eat from you. Which means what? That it will be a korban, right? Ma she'ochal will be a korban. Now in theory, that should be usher then, right? That should work. But why doesn't it work? Remembers? Because this is Lishitat Rabbi Meir, who says we don't say Michla Lavata Shomehen. You have to spell it out. If you say the opposite, right, the inverse, it's not gonna work. So according to Rabbi Meir, this would have to be only according to Rabbi Meir. That if you say not a korban what I don't eat from you, but meaning it will be a korban what I eat from you, that doesn't work. Okay?
Ah,
so hold off. Because then we're going to see that... Okay, hold off for 1 minute. We're going to get there. Okay? Don't confuse us yet. Okay? We're going to stick with what it says here. This says, lo korban, lo ochalach, right? No michal avat hashamehen. So it's not a good net. So now the Gemara is going to say, mani matznitin. Who's our Mishnah like? We keep having this, right? Every time we quote a Mishnah, is it Rabbi Meir? Is it Rabbi Yehuda? How does it work? Where does it fit into our basic... Machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about Mikhla Lavatashra Me'ahain, about some other issues they have machlokot about. So, before we read this, okay, I want to show you the first thing on the chart that I brought in, which is the Mishnah Yud Gimel. Okay, I think that was the daf we didn't learn together. So, I think it was a Shabbos daf. So, if I remember correctly. So, anyway, I wanted to just bring up these three cases that are mentioned in the Mishnah there because we're going to have to compare them to here. It's a little strange, by the way, why there would be this Mishnah on Yud Gimel and this Mishnah here. Like, the order of the Mishnayot is very, like, it's repetitive and it's confusing because some are Rabbi Meir, some are Rabbi Yehuda. It's all like a little bit of a mushkababa. And that's what the Gemara is trying to make sense of. So the three cases there are Korban She'ani Ochelach, okay, which is different than ours, which is Korban Lo Ochelach. Okay, Korban Lo Ochelach clearly doesn't work. But if you say korban she'ani ochelecha, okay, or ani ochelach, it will be a korban what I eat from you. So Rabbi Meir says that's a good neder, because there you said it explicitly, right? But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need this kaf. You need the ki korban. Okay? So if you say korban lo ochelach, that's not anything. But if you say korban that I will eat from you, that's implying that what I eat from you will be a korban. According to Rabbi Meir, that works as a neder. According to Rabbi Yehuda, without that kaf, the kaf is critical. Because what are you really doing? You're not turning it into a korban. You're making it like a korban. You want it to have the status of a korban, have it a neder. Then we have ha korban, ki korban, or korban she'ochalach. Okay? Now if you have... without the sha'ani ochelah, but you have ha'korban, kikorban, korban, that's usur. Okay, but we're going to see it's really Rabbi Meir's shita that is usur. And that's going to contradict our Mishnah, which says ha'korban sha'ochelah is mutar. You see the contradiction here? In the Mishnah, you gimel, it says ha'korban is asur. And by us, it says ha'korban is mutar. And then the last one is also a contradiction, and that's what Shoshana brought up, which is la korban lo ochalach, Rabbi Meir was osir. And in our Mishnah, it says lo korban lo ochalach is mutar. So again, we're going to say, if our Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, which it must be, because lo korban lo ochalach is michalav, we don't say michalav atashomehen, and that's why it works. So how, it seems to contradict the Mishnah on Yud Gimel. And then we're going to have the same answer we saw there, which was, do you remember the answer? Just so that I don't leave you in total confusion right now. What if we had a whole problem with this la korban lo ochalach, according to Rabbi Meir. Said, how does this work? Because la korban lo ochalach seems to say, lo korban, what I'm not going to eat from you, which means it is a korban, what I am going to eat from you. So how did they explain it again? It means, li korban yehe. It's not la korban, it's li korban. This will be a korban. And then we add the words, like Shoshana brought up before, lefichach, and therefore, lo ochalach. Okay? He translates that sentence totally differently. Okay? Now what we're going to obviously have to answer here is that our case is where it's lo korban, and that's why it works. That's in the end going to be their answer. So let's start. Mani matzniti. Rabbi Meir, it's Rabbi Meir, right? It has to be Rabbi Meir because de'i Rabbi Yehuda lo shane le korban v'lo shane le ha korban. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't distinguish between ha korban and korban. He thinks that kol od you don't use this kaf, kik korban, it doesn't work. And our Mishnah clearly has a distinction whether you say ha korban or korban. Okay, it has a different, and it clearly doesn't necessarily, right? There's a difference there whether you say ha or ki. There's no difference in our Mishnah whether you say korban or ha korban. But Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't distinguish between ha korban and korban, and our Mishnah does distinguish, right? Our Mishnah has a different situation whether you say korban or ha korban. So, but if you say it's Rabbi Meir, ema sefer, we're going to have a problem because la korban lo ochalach mutar. How could that be? V'hatnan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah Yud Gimel la korban lo ochalach, Rabbi Meir oser? V'amar Rabbi Abba, how did Rabbi Abba explain that sentence? That when you say the words la korban lo ochalach, you must mean na'aseh ke'omer li korban yehe lefichach lo ochalach. So the way Rabbi Abba understands Rabbi Meir would basically contradict our Mishnah. So what are the answer? Lo kashya hada amar li korban and hada amar lo korban to lo havi korban kamar. Okay, so if you say lo korban, then you mean I don't want this to be a korban, and there's no neder at all. And that's our Mishnah. And when the Mishnah in Yud Gimel seemed to say la korban, li korban, you know, we didn't know what it said because we don't have punctuation here. But there, he seemed to imply that the ascent, it was not lo korban, it was li korban. And therefore, li korban yehe, lefichach lo ochalach, and that's how they resolve the contradiction. Okay, so next Mishnah. Here we have, like I said, the same lishonot of this korban, right? Instead of korban, we're going to swap it and stick in the word shvuah. So shvuah lo ochalach, ha shvuah sheochalach, lo shvuah lo ochalach asur. Okay, what do you see here? Here's an interesting thing. Because again, it's not just the lashon of shvuah, it's what are you saying after that? The first one, right, which one seems the most obvious would be a problem? Right? Ha shvuah sheochalach, right? I swear, no, shvuah lo ochalach. Shvuah lo ochalach would be most obvious, right? I swear that I'm not going to eat from you, right? But now you say the reverse. Ha shvuah sheochalach. I swear I'm going to eat from you. What do you mean? Sounds like you are going to eat, so why is it usher for you to eat? You follow? You can say it's self and it's opposite, and it'll mean the same thing. You follow? Right? It's in my house, we always make these jokes about, you know, you could say, you can't have enough chocolate, right? What does that mean? You can't have too much chocolate. Right? You can't have too much chocolate, meaning you're not allowed to have too much chocolate. Or you can't have too much chocolate, you know, you just can't have too much chocolate, right? It's too much. So it means itself and it's opposite. So here also, they're saying that shvuah, if you say, I swear I'm going to eat from you, or I swear I'm not going to eat from you, you mean the same thing. When you say, I swear I'm going to eat from you, it doesn't mean, I swear I'm going to eat from you. It means, I swear I'm not going to eat from you. Okay? And therefore, it's a good shvuah. Lo shvuah, lo ochalach. Right, I'm not going to take a shvuah on what I'm not going to eat from you, But now what would we have to say here? That we hold by Shavua. Even if we don't hold it by Nedarim, we do hold it by Shavua. And that's why the Mishnah is bringing this in comparison. So what does that really mean, right? If you take away the two negatives, the double negative, you end up with Shavua, right? It's a Shavua when I'm going to eat from you. Okay? So, now they're going to say, Michlal, from here you can infer, if you say, I swear I'm going to eat from you, it must mean that you're not going to eat from me, right? Exactly what I said. That if you say, I am going to eat, it really means I'm not going to eat, okay? It's almost like saying, I swear I'm going to eat from you. Like, what do you think? I'm going to eat from you? You crazy? I'm not eating from your stuff. Ureminu, but if you say this, this totally contradicts another Mishnah, okay? Here we get to a Mishnah in Shavuot. Shavuot Shtayin Shein Arba. Okay, this whole thing in Shavuot about Shtayin Shein Arba and things like it reminds you of where in Shabbos, right? Yitziot Shtayin Shein Arba. It's the same lashon there. Okay, Shavuot Shtayin Shein Arba. What does that mean? There's two Shavuot midoraita and two more midorabanan. Okay, that are basically going to be a bad Shavuot. Right? It's a bad. It's a. Right. Now, I guess, right, there will be a good Shavuot that you can be, basically, you can, if you go against it, you'll be Chayav Midoraita, and then two more Midorabana. She'ochal v'shelo ochal. She'achalti v'shelo achalti. If you say that I will eat, or you say that I won't eat, okay, or if you say, okay, those are the two that are Doraita. If you say, I swear I'm going to eat from you, and then you don't keep your Shavuot, or you say, and then here it seems to imply what? If you eat from me, it means, I swear I'm going to eat from you, let's say. And then, in order to fulfill your shvu, you have to eat from him. Or, you swear that I'm not going to eat from you, and then it's forbidden for you to eat from him. The two that are Dorabanan are She'achalti b'shelo achalti. It's swearing on something that already happened. Okay, I swear that I ate from you, or I swear that I didn't eat from you. Midaka'amar, from here we can infer what? Since it says She'lo ochel and She'achalti b'shelo achalti, right here, there must be missing the words, right? She'ochal v'shelo ochal, v'she'achalti v'shelo achalti. Okay, that's again, we talked about the Haggadah Rabbah the other day, so he fills in this clearly missing word, because they're bringing three cases here, right? They mean to bring four. Since it says that I eat and that I don't eat, and that I did eat and that I didn't eat, michlal d'she'ochal lecha d'achil namashma. It sounds like when you say, you swear I'm going to eat, or you swear I ate, it means really that you, right, you mean actually eating and not eating. So now we're going to have two answers. Amar Abaye. She'ochel shtei lashonot mashma. She'ochel could mean two different things. It depends on the context, okay? And this is, right, the Gemara is saying something that's very obvious, which is how you say things depends on your tone, the context, everything else, right? You could say something, and depending on how you say it and what the frame of reference is, that might affect what you mean. So here they're going to give some examples. Hayum sarvim bo lechol. Let's say they were trying to push a guy to eat. Okay, here you have your Jewish grandmother. She's trying to get her kid to eat, right? Va'amar achilna. And he says, okay, I'll eat. Achilna, achilna. I'll eat. V'tu, and then he adds, shvua she'ochal. I swear I'm going to eat. So obviously, what does it mean? Da'achilna mashma. In that case, he means I'm going to eat when he says, I swear I'm going to eat. Aval amar lo achilna, lo achilna, right? The grandmother's pushing him to eat, and he's like, no, I'm not eating. V'tu amar, and then he goes and he says, shvua she'ochal, I swear I'm going to eat. Meaning, he obviously means, I swear I'm not going to eat, okay? In that case, de lo achilna kamar. Okay, so that's how Abaye understands it. He says, it depends on the context. So when he talked about shvua shtayin shein arba, that was a guy who was taking a shvua saying, I want to eat, right? And I'm swearing that I'm going to eat, or I'm swearing that I ate from you. But in our Mishnah, it's talking about someone who's trying to take a shvua against eating, and therefore it's going to be forbidden for him to eat.
Do they discuss anywhere a time frame? Because when you eat, you eat. But if you say, I'm not going to eat from you, it seems very open-ended. And
right.
Obviously, so, sleep, they had to, because you can't go without sleep, and you can eat from other people, so it's
right.
Not the same.
It's
issue.
A good question. I don't know the answer. I have to imagine that also when it comes to food, there's a limit, and I'm pretty sure there is. I just don't recall 100% off the top of my head. But I realize I ended up with all the sheets in front of me, if anybody wants them. I'm pretty sure it discusses the whole thing about eating. I just don't remember offhand. I'm sure we'll get to it.
I'm thinking in general, not even about eating, because there are always other sources for food. But in general, if you make that kind of open-ended...
Well, an open-ended neder that you could actually fulfill,
forever.
Or an open-ended shvua could last forever. But a shvua, like, you can't eat, people can't... survive without eating, just like people can't survive without sleeping. So I'm sure that there's sources that talk about the food. When it comes to other things, I think it really could be open-ended until you, you know, either go, like if it's a neder, you could do atarat nedarim or something. If it's a shvuah, I think, can you get rid of a shvuah? I'm trying to remember.
Must be a way.
Yeah, there must be a way to get rid of a shvuah also. I don't recall. Okay. Again, I'm sure we'll see all this. So that's Abaye's answer. Rav Ashi amar, she'ochal deshvuah, she'i ochal ka'amar. When you say shvuah she'ochal, okay, like our Mishnah, okay, ha'shvuah she'ochal lecha, okay, you really mean to say ha'shvuah she'i ochal lecha. Okay, it doesn't, according to Rav Ashi, if you said ha'shvuah she'ochal lecha, that wouldn't work. Okay, that would mean that you're taking a shvuah on what you will eat, not what you won't eat. You're saying, I swear I'm going to eat from you. But if you say, but what he's saying is our mission, when it says shvuah she'ochal lecha, really should read shvuah she'i ochal lecha. Now what's e? E is like efshar, I won't. Okay? Shvuah that I won't eat from you. He changes the text of the Mishnah, basically. So they say, wait a minute. Kain pshita, my lameimra. Why would the Mishnah need to even tell us this? If you say shvuah that e ochal lecha, it's exactly the same as shvuah lo'ochal lecha. So why would you even need to mention it? So ma'u detema, you might have thought, and this is why Rav Ashi would have to explain why you would need to say this, may kam lishnehu de'itkele. In other words, maybe you might have thought that he slipped on the lashon, because iochel and ochel is so similar that you might have thought that maybe he actually said she'ochel, and you just didn't, you know, it came out of his mouth the wrong way. You know, sometimes things slip out, and the way you pronounce it, it's so close to she'ochalecha that you might have thought that it doesn't work as a shvuah. Kamash malam, that it works, okay? And he basically neutralizes the whole question because he says this isn't a case of shochelecha, in which case, according to him, if you say that I'm going to eat, it means you're going to eat. And if you say I'm not going to eat, it means you're not going to eat, okay? So now they're going to have a bit of a thing. Why doesn't each one hold like the other? Abaye lo amar tam ki Rav Ashi is going to be very simple. Dilo katani she'i ochal. It's not what it says in the Mishnah, okay? So it's a very nice answer, but that's not what it says. So that's his answer. Rav Ashi, nadim in tam d'Abaye, he kind of kept away from the time of Abaye, shelo ochel nami mashmash, why doesn't he agree with Abaye that it depends on the context? Because he says if you're going to say it depends on the context, what's he going to say? It's a great answer. Shelo ochel nami mashmash she'i lishonot. If you say I'm not going to eat, it can also be mefurash l'shnei kivunim, and nobody thinks that that's the case. Nobody thinks that when you say shvuah lo ochalacha, that you mean I'm going to take a shvuah that I'm going to eat from you. And nobody would say that. So he says if you're going to take that approach, it means two different things. Also lo ochalacha. How could lo ochalacha mean two different things? So here he's going to give an example. Hayu, I lost my place, 1 second. Okay. Hayu misarvim bo lechol. They were trying to force him to eat. Ba'amar lo achilna lo achilna. He says, no, I'm not going to eat, I'm not going to eat. Ba'amar nami, shvua, bein she'ochal, bein she'lo ochal. Ha'den achil namashma. Okay, if he says, I swear, whether I eat, you know, that I'm going to eat or that I'm not going to eat. So here, when he says, whether I'm going to eat or I'm not going to eat, he means I'm going to eat. Why is that? I'm confused now, 1 second. Why is that exactly? How does that work? Context here. He says, oh, right. That's why. I forgot to read it right. They were trying to get him to eat, okay? And he says, what? Lo achilna, lo achilna? You think I'm not going to eat? I swear I'm going to eat or I'm not going to eat, right? He says, oh, right. That's what it means. And then he swears, okay? He says this as a question. He says, what? I'm not going to eat? I'm not going to eat? Of course I'm going to eat, he means, right? And then whatever he says after this, whether he says, I swear I'm going to eat, or if he says, I swear I'm not going to eat, he really means, I'm going to eat. Okay? In other words, he's saying it sarcastically. This is basically sarcasm. Okay? Right? I swear I'm not going to eat. Like, obviously I'm going to eat. Okay? So, right. It's a little odd, but we use sarcastic tones all the time, and how many people here get into trouble when they use sarcastic language, right? How many times has it been, right, in your family particularly, right? There, right? How many times do we use sarcastic language, and people who it's not part of their culture to use sarcastic language, like, don't get what we're trying to say. And that's really what they're saying. It depends on the context, and anything can be used sarcastically. So lo achilna also, if lo achilna also, well then, we're going to basically you know, then anything could be anything, and that's why he doesn't like that approach. Right? In other words, shvur shalocha could mean shvur de lo achilna, or it could mean shvur de achilna. And therefore, what does he say? Elatana paska sheochel de achilna mashma, b'shalochel lo ochel mashma. Okay? Therefore, he says very clearly, the Mishnah is clearly distinguished between sheochel and shalochel, and lochel means lochel, and ochel means ochel, I will eat. And therefore, when we have this case in the Mishnah that says shvur sheochelach, and it's the same halacha as shvur lo ochelach, it's clearly not she'ochalacha, it's e'ochalacha, right? That I'm not going to eat from you, and that and you can't understand it any other way. That's what he says. Okay, so just to summarize, we've taken these lashonot, we've tried to kind of, you know, deal with each case individually, try to figure out what's going on here. When they had trouble, like particularly in the second part of the Mishnah that we saw, this last Mishnah, you know, one approach is to basically reread it, right, and say it's not what the Mishnah really said, we're going to change the words, right? Another approach is just to say it depends on the situation, which both are, you know, depending on the situation sounds very like a realistic approach, right? Because we do know that when we speak, it depends on the context. Obviously, when you come up with a halachic system, it makes it very complicated. If you leave room open for context and everything, you know, who knows? You don't always understand everything from the context, and it could create confusion, and that's probably also another reason why Rabbi Ashi didn't want to go with that approach. It creates confusion when you need a system.
It's interesting that they vacillate between being so meduyak and specific about language and then being so loose and trying to interpret.
Right.
It's interesting that they didn't just try to say, like everything else in Judaism, this is the wording that you have to use to make an oath.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, they're retroactively trying to interpret right. What people might think.
Well, this goes to lots of situations. In other words, when it comes to things like a bracha, so they could say, this is the nusach you need to use. But when people just make swears and bows and things like that, you can't control what language everybody uses. You can't assume everybody knows all the halachot. And these are reshut type things. So once you enter that realm, anyone could do anything. And people swear, like, I mean, you see it all the time. We saw it with all those cases of the husband swearing off the wife, I'm never going to sleep with you. You know, it just comes out, right? Most of these vows come out when you're angry, when you're worked up about something. And we all know that when you're angry and worked up, things just blurt out of your mouth.
But as Shara said,
and then the question is, how do we treat it? When it comes out of your mouth, the question is going to be, what do we do with this statement you just made?
But they could make a blanket statement that anything like that doesn't work.
Right.
They
unless
could.
You make it the exact right phrasing.
They could, but what did we see before? It would, but what did we see before?
They're worried about
They're worried about people swearing. They want to prevent people from swearing unnecessarily. They don't want these swears, and we see it all over Shas, that people are swearing, and we don't want people swearing, and we don't want people taking nidarim and making these promises that they're not going to keep, and we don't want people telling their wives, I'm never going to sleep with you. You know, like, that's just a bad way of behaving.
Perfect.
So they want to minimize it.
It's just
and they want to let people, like, they definitely want to make it, in this case, I think, more chamor, because they want people to what's in the end, the whole lesson of all this? It's very tedious and it's very nitty gritty and it could drive you a little bit crazy. But in the end, there's a message underneath which is watch what comes out of your mouth. As it's a real, be very careful what you say. And even, you know, if you think about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the whole Hatzarat Nedarim, and you know, we'll see hopefully about more sources about it. It's so interesting, like, how the whole thing developed. Like, why do we do this on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur? There's no, right? You could do a Hatzarat Nedarim any time of year. And what we do in Yom Kippur is really not halachic at all. Right? When we say kol nidrei, nobody's really canceling your vows. That's not a halachic cancellation of vows. You have to go before three men, right? I mean, yeah, you have the two people with the Sefer Torah, but you're not, you have to be mefareth the neder. You have, you know, it's not a real, and even Hatzarat Nedarim that people do on Erev Rosh Hashanah, or some people do on Erev Yom Kippur, that's more formalized, and that has more mashmaut. But even then, when everybody says it together, if you have a particular neder you're supposed to get rid of, you have to go in front by yourself and talk to them about your neder in front of three men, and yeah, so there's a whole process.
When you're in a moment of fury, you're not going to remember it to be mevatel.
So yes, it's true.
So
it will cancel vows that you don't remember.
Tefillah.
It will definitely cancel vows that you don't remember.
Or maybe mevatel.
No. So maybe I'm not being clear. If you do Hatzarat Nedarim Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's a halachic Hatzarat Nedarim that works to get rid of your Nedarim. But it doesn't work to get rid of any Neder that you know about and that you want to particularly cancel a particular Neder that you're aware of. That we do as a preventative measure, right? To not only that, we also say anything I say for the whole next year, right? If you think about it, if you said it already for the whole next year, well, then you don't need to do it. You know, you need to do it maybe every other year, right? So what's the issue here? There's clearly, they want you to do this for Erev Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur. First of all, there's a source in the Gemara that talks about Erev Rosh Hashanah, about canceling, that you should stand at the beginning of the year and say anything I do from this year on. Okay, it's not even clear there if you should be doing it. I think it says you should stand by Rosh Hashanah. I forget what the Gemara is. You should stand at the beginning of the year. It's not clear whether they actually mean Rosh Hashanah or just you should do this once a year maybe, something like that. You should say basically anything I say from here on in will not be valid. But there's no real text in the Gemara that talks about this. There's no real, that you have to do a Tarana Dream. It all came from the time of the Gaonim. And my understanding of it is that they wanted, it's a lesson for life in general about be careful what you say. You know, if you want to cancel something, you know, this is the time for tshuva, right? It's rethinking things that you did and thinking about things you are going to do. It's all connected with the concept of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, about doing tshuva, about being careful of what you say, about, you know, like the whole thing in Tefillah Sakkah, about how you talk to other people, and, you know, fitzing Kol Nidre, right, after saying that long tefillah before, you know, about how you treat other people. It's all about how you speak and how you behave and what you say, and not acting out of anger and not acting on impulse. And that's really what nedarim are. So to say that we should have a particular text for a neder doesn't relate to any of that. Because that's just saying, yeah, if you're going to make a neder thoughtfully, so do it thoughtfully. But here we're really talking about, I think in general, they're relating to people who are making nedarim not thoughtfully. And then they wanted to basically prevent that from happening.
And what about when people say bli neder, or, you know, that kind of phrase?
Right, does that work?
Is there a source here that says it actually...
It's a good question.
Kick hold on and then bli neder.
Right. So there's no source that says that, I'm sure. But what is it basically saying? It's relating to everything we're learning here. Did you mean to take a neder, or did you mean not to take a neder? So once you say bli neder, you make it very clear that you didn't mean to take a neder. That's basically what you're saying. You're saying, I'm just saying a lashon of this, but I'm not taking a real neder. You know, and again, I think it's a matter of, you know, in the Gaonim they talk about it. I'm trying to remember the sources offhand now. In this Hatarat Nedarim, about, you know, the approach toward people taking Nedarim and wanting people not to take Nedarim and wanting people to be careful, you know, not to do it. Was it a common thing? Was it not a common thing? And how do we treat, like, again, if people say, I swear, and, you know, how many people say, I swear I'm going to do this? You know, does that mean you're really swearing? Do we take that as a halachic neder or not? Right? How do we treat that? So people who want to protect themselves say bli neder, you know, and then they kind of, that's their way of saying, this is not. But if you don't say it, the question is, did you really mean it also? I think the way people speak nowadays, they don't mean it. Everyone knows they don't mean it. And then therefore, maybe it really doesn't have meaning. And that's really the whole question here. What did you mean? What did you intend? And even if we don't necessarily know what you meant and what you intended, but how is the halacha going to treat it to maybe prevent you from doing this in the future? So, okay, let's go on to the next Mishnah. Zeh chomer b'shvua mi b'nedarim. B'chomer b'nedarim mi b'shvua. Okay, this is what's more chomer about shvua from nedarim, and this is what's more chomer about nedarim mi b'shvua. So we're going to see both. Ketzad. Amar konam sukah sh'ani oseh. Lulav shani notel, tfilin shani meniach, binidarim asur, bishvuo mutar, she'ein ishbein lavor ala mitzvot. Okay, so we saw before the chumra of the shvuah about davar she'ein bo mamash, right? That a shvuah is chaliv in davar she'ein bo mamash. And now we're getting to where is nidarim more chamor from shvuah? And that's if you say, this sukkah I am not going to build, or this lulav I am not going to take, right? It's forbidden to me. So that is basically nishba ala mitzvah, and preventing you from doing a mitzvah, and neder works that way, but shvua doesn't. We learned this, right? Because you're mushba ba'omei mehar Sinai, and ain shvua chal al shvua. Shvua can't be chal on another shvua, okay? It's as if you swore at Matan Torah, right? That's all based on the concept that it was as if we were all under the har at Matan Torah and accepted upon ourselves the halachot. Okay, so therefore, this is more chamor about a neder. That a neder doesn't have that issue. There's no, you were nador from Har Sinai. And therefore, if you took a neder, then I'm not going to build the sukkah, or then I'm not going to take this lulav, it works. Okay. So now, the first thing the Gemara is going to say is, this is strange. The Mishnah starts out and says, Chomer nedarim mibishvua, right? And it doesn't start out, but that's the second line it says. But it sounds like, Michlal, it's referring to cases we just discussed. Now, what are the two previous Mishnayot? You can look at your chart. What are they, right? The first one was this Korban lo'ochalach, ha-korban she'ochalach, and lo-korban lo'ochalach. Those were the lishonot of Neder. And the last Mishnah was about the Shavuah, right? Now, if you say it's referring back to the Mishnah about the Nedarim, what did we say? Those Nedarim aren't even Nedarim, right? So, Michlal de Nederhu, Vaham Mutar Katane, but it says Mutar there, it's not even a Neder. Right? So you could say they were talking about the general topic of Nedarim, but yet they're saying it's strange that it's referring to a Mishnah where the Nedarim weren't even considered Nedarim. So what do they say? No, they're referring to the Aseifa de Idach Bava Katane. They're referring Dafka to the part before that, which is Shvua She'eni Yashen She'eni Medaber She'eni Malech Asur. And from there they say, Zeh Chomer B'Shvua Mibin Nedarim, right? And they're really referring back to the two previous Mishnayot, okay? Let's just, right, if we want to go back and order the Mishnayot, we started with this today. Konam Shani Yashen, Shani Medaber, Shani Malech, right? And then we had this Shvua She'eni Yashen, She'eni Medaber, She'eni Mahalech, right? And we said there was a difference, right? That differences are highlighted there. What are the differences? That the Shvua is al Davar She'en Bo Mamash, where you could say, I will not sleep. And the Neder is on Davar She'yesh Bo Mamash, the Koname and I B'Shena. Again, that's as long as you assume that that's the reading of that Mishnah. So what the Gemara is saying is, it's really jumping back. In other words, the order of the Mishnayot is, those two Mishnayot, this really should have come after that. But they brought in these other cases that are on this chart, right? The Korban lo'ochalach and Shvua lo'ochalach. They brought in those in between, but really we're going back now, referring back to that Mishnah. Just like by that Mishnah, we saw the difference was that Shvua is more chamor from Neder because it's al davar she'en bo mamash. Now we're going to see the flip. That Neder is more chamor from Shvua because the Neder is chal even on a mitzvah. Okay, now we're going to say, Chomer bin Nedarim mi b'Shvua ketzad. So what's the case here? Rav Kahana Matne, Rav Kana Matne, he learned this way. Amar of Gidel Amar Rav, Rav Tavume Matne, Amar of Gidel Amar Shmuel. Okay, each one said that Rav Gidel said it either in the name of Rav or in the name of Shmuel. Again, remember, Rav and Shmuel, first generation of Moraim, right? And people are always passing down things in their name. So here it's not clear who said this. Minayin she'enish be'in lavor ala mitzvot. Ah, what's our source? Okay, I said it very simply. Oh, and shvua chal shvua, right? But it doesn't say that in the Torah. So how do we know that you're not allowed to take a shvua lavor ala mitzvot? Talmud lamar lo yachel dvaro. What does that mean? Okay, let's just go back to the pasuk. Okay, you remember this pasuk? Now you're going to immediately say, wait a minute, there's a problem. Because what, okay, just to already get, tell you, so you can obviously figure out the problem. We just said that neder can be chal al mitzvah, right? And we said that shvua is lo chal al mitzvah. You can't take a shvua al mitzvah. So where do they learn it from? The pasuk of lo yachel dvaro. Maybe you can tell me already what the problem is. You remember this pasuk, right? What's it said in the context of? A neder and a shvua. Okay? If it was a pasuk that just had shvua, we'd understand. So we don't even understand the drasha yet, but let's just read the pasuk. Ish ki yidur neder la Hashem. Oh, he shavash shvua le'esuri saral nafsho. Okay, by the end of Nidarim, you'll know this pasuk by heart in your sleep. Lo yachel dvaro kechol yotzei mipiv yaseh. Okay, so now if you're going to say this is lo yachel dvaro applies to shvua, well, it should apply to Nidarim. Anyway, what's the drasha? Lo yachel dvaro, dvaro lo yachel. Dvaro means don't be mechalel what you say. What does it mean? What you say? What you say is dvar reshut. Okay? Aval mechal hu lechefze shamayim. Okay? But you can be mechalel, okay, your net, your shvua, if it was about something that wasn't dvaro, okay, but it was divrei shamayim. Okay, where else do we have a drasha similar to this? Belechtecha baderech. Okay? Where do we say, right? B'shachav kumecha belechtecha baderech. What is belechtecha baderech? We assume, the Gemara assumes, belechtecha baderech, or I think it's a braita, is reshut. You're going on the path because you wanted to be, right? It was a reshut. But if you're on your way to do a mitzvah, you're not chayav in kriyat shema. And that, from there we learn, ha'osik b'mitzvah patur min a mitzvah. If you're busy with a mitzvah, you're patur from another mitzvah. From there they learn like a chatan patur mi kriyat shema. But there it's a bit of a different issue. We learned all this in sukkah, in brachot. Okay. So it's the same type of drasha. Dvaro means your own stuff, not chifte shamayim. So now they're going to obviously ask our question. Maishna neder, d'chsiv ish ki yidur neder l'Hashem, lo yachel dvaro. Shvuanami, haktiv o ishava shvua l'Hashem, lo yachel dvaro. So Amar Abaye, Hada amar hana'at sukkah alai. Hada amar shvua shelo ehene min asukkah. He says the difference is because a neder and a shvua, right, we've talked about this before, is chefetz gavra distinction. A neder is on the object. The object is not the mitzvah itself, right? The object helps you fulfill the mitzvah, but it's on the object. So you can do something on the object. But a shvua to say, I'm not going to go in a sukkah, that you can't do, because then you're preventing yourself 100% from doing a mitzvah. If you're saying, this sukkah is forbidden to me, first of all, you can go find another sukkah, right? This lulav is forbidden to me, you can go find another one. Okay? So, and even, I wonder, though, if you say all lulavim are asur to me, you still might be able to, because, it's again, it's on the chefza and not on the person itself. Amar Rava. Rava says, what are you talking about, Abaye? Hana'at sukkah, you're talking about the pleasure of a sukkah? You're talking about the, right, the... what's the problem? We know this already. B'chi mitzvot lehenot nitnu. What, you're supposed to enjoy the mitzvah? Mitzvot are not meant for your enjoyment. It's not a hana'ah thing. Okay, so therefore that wouldn't even work if you said that lashon. Because it's not lehana'ah. Ela amar Rava, hada amar yishivat sukkah. Here he's not arguing over something major. He's just saying, switch what you said. Like, fix your wording. It's not... enjoyment of a sukkah is going to be usher to me. It's the sitting in a sukkah is usher to me. V'hadamar shvua shelo eshev basukkah. The shvua is that I'm not going to sit in the sukkah. The mitzvah isn't to enjoy the sukkah. If you say, I swear I'm not going to enjoy the sukkah, you can actually still sit in a sukkah, just not enjoy yourself. Right? Okay? And he's saying that's not the mitzvah, right? That's not what we're talking about. So he says it's the yeshiva basukkah. Okay, we're going to stop here and we'll start up from here tomorrow. Okay, they're going to basically ask, right? This is where you learn it from? Shouldn't we be learning it from somewhere else?
Maybe it's because the pasuk ends with the word yaseh, and that's a positive thing.
So we talked about this, that there's two mitzvot aseh in kiyum neder. One is from here, and one is a different pasuk. And there's one mitzvot lo taseh. So it's one of these mitzvot where if you don't do it, you basically done a lo taseh, in which case you're chayav malchut, and you have been mevatel two mitzvot aseh, which again, you don't get a punishment for that, but it goes in your chart. It goes in your records. So it's not a good thing.